Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? He said in reply, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He replied to Jesus, or Jesus replied to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back. Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? The lawyer answered, The one who treated him with mercy. Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord. So, as I said at the beginning of Mass, our readings today have to do with faith and action, being and doing. The first reading from the book of Deuteronomy makes it clear that the call of faith is not abstract. It is implanted within the human heart. In the psalm, God invites us to turn to him in our distress, for God is loving and merciful. Turn to the Lord in your need, the psalmist says, and you will live. And the Lord hears the poor, both materially and spiritual. In the second reading, St. Paul offers an outline for a theology of Christ. Christ is center of the universe, cosmic, firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead, head of the church, our Savior and Redeemer, and personification of the wisdom of God. We, however, are not theologians, most of us. We relate to him in a personal way, as a companion, as a friend. One of my favorite images of Jesus is a drawing of him walking along a path, could be a mountain, could be an ocean shore, whatever, and next to him is a boy or a man, could be a woman, and they're walking along together. That's the image that I have of Jesus. A good friend of mine, Bob Fabing, who is another Jesuit, wrote a book on the Eucharist, and in that book he has a wonderful way of looking at our relationship to Jesus. He says, we are drawn to Jesus by the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are drawn to Christ Jesus. There is an inner attraction which invites us to him. Something touches our hearts. There is a call within us. That's the call that the first apostles and disciples felt as well. When I entered the Jesuits at the age of 24, I had a pretty simple way of praying. I prayed the rosary. We had family rosary. Prayed when I was in desperate need of help for a test or something else. But when I got into the Jesuits, in the beginning we make what's called a long retreat, 30 days, and we were introduced to a prayer using your imagination. And I have, as it turned out, a very vivid imagination. Not everybody has a good imagination. It's not a moral issue, it's just a faculty, some of us have. And in this prayer of the imagination, you read a passage from the gospel where Jesus is doing something, and then you, after you read it over once, then you start reading it again, and this time you're a spectator in the scene. You're at the healing of the blind man, for example. You're just standing there watching this in your imagination. And then you read it a third time, and this time you're in the story. You're the blind person, or you're one of the onlookers, or whoever you are. But the purpose of this kind of prayer is to fall in love with Jesus, the healer, the teacher, the friend, or to fall more in love with him, depending on where you are. It's a wonderful and powerful way to connect to Jesus in a personal way and not a theological way, the prayer of the imagination. They probably have something on it in the bookstore here, some book that relates to this kind of prayer. One of the theological statements I mentioned earlier in relation to Christ is he is the personification of the wisdom of God. And we see that clearly in the parables, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is in our gospel today. This is a psalm or a parable where Jesus is sharing something with a scholar of the law, we would call today a lawyer. The message in this passage is the love of God, faith, and love of neighbor, action, are intimately connected and are at the heart of the Christian faith. So when the lawyer asks the question, "Who is my neighbor?" for Jesus, anyone in need, even people we normally don't associate with, are considered people that Jesus would reach out to. And then we have this really interesting way of, and this is part of the wisdom of this parable, Jews and Samaritans did not get along at all. There was some really strong feelings of animosity between the two. So here it is, the lawyer is a Jew, and Jesus tells this parable interpreting the scene in terms of this tension between the two, the Jews and the Samaritans. The lawyer, as a Jew, would have interpreted neighbor as another Israelite. But Jesus turns that theory on its head, because it is the Samaritan in the story who befriends and provides for the dying Jew. The Samaritan places love above prejudice, again, above enmity, and above the letter of the law. The Samaritan is the good person in the scene. The two Jewish guys who walk by, the priest and the Levite, they walk on the other side of the road because they don't want to have anything to do with this person, because they might be unclean. But the Samaritan reaches out, and that's the wisdom of the parable, that anybody is a neighbor, not just the people we like or are like. So where do we learn how to be this way? Where do we learn how to be people of compassion? My sister may be here somewhere. She and I came to town for a gathering of people I grew up with, and so she'll appreciate this as well. Our mother is an example for me and my siblings of someone who lived faith and action, faith and compassion, and lived this parable. We were in this parish, and there was a St. Vincent de Paul Society. My mother was somehow connected. My father was in the food business, And he would bring samples of food home and put them in this closet in our house. And my father's idea of family was the nuclear family, his wife and children, period. However, he had married a woman whose idea of family was anybody in town in need of help. So there's a little tension here occasionally between the two. My father would come home from work with a new batch of food, open the door where we kept it, and he'd say, "Wait a minute, we could not possibly have eaten everything that's gone from here." And then I can remember him yelling, "Kay," my mother's name, "what happened to all that food I brought in just a couple of days ago?" And then she would say, "Ah, George, now there's his family over San Marino, or a family in South Pasadena, or family in Pasadena." And my dad would look at me and he'd go, "Max, don't get married. It's too complicated. Become a monk." That may be the beginning of my vocation, I don't know. But my mother had this, she came from a wealthy background up in San Francisco, but she had this really heart for the poor, heart for anybody in need. And my father had to learn that from my mother, as we did. So who inspired you to be a person of compassion, like we have in the gospel today? Who inspired you to live your faith in this way? Think about that and thank God for whoever that person is or was. And we ask God for eyes to see the needs in our community, the needs of our neighbors, those we like and those we don't, and in the larger world scene, and when possible, do something positive about an issue or more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.